Thank you, Sharon, for that beautiful number this morning. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 with no thought that we could encompass all that God has to say in these 11 verses. However, Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Word that goes forth and returns, bringing back, Lord, that for which you have sent it. We thank you, Lord, for inspiring men to write it so many years ago. We thank you, Lord, for preserving it. Here this morning, Lord, we thank you for an English translation that we can hear from you. And so, Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we thank you, Lord, for this morning, that we have this opportunity to meet freely in this place and to open up your word, your living word, and, Lord, read from it and hear from you, Lord, words of truth, spirit, and life. And so, Lord, speak to us. As you hide your servant behind the cross, Lord, may your voice be heard as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You hear a testimony that Jessica brought to us today, and then begin to read in God's word, rejoicing in glorying in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that hope makes not ashamed. I don't know if that could be any more perfect for you. This passage of Scripture is powerful. There is so much in here that it would take weeks to unpack it all. You've got the basic foundational thought that we are justified by faith. You have the reality of what the angels proclaimed upon Jesus' birth, that our peace that God in Christ Jesus had come to bring us was a peace with him. We have prophetic things spoken of here in which Jesus was proclaimed in the Old Testament. We have so much in here that it almost seems like a disservice to try to even preach out of it, really. I want to think, however, on one thought, and I wrestled with what to preach on this Sunday, knowing that it would be a somewhat limited length of time. But as Jessica spoke to the reality that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, when Jessica's life is presented to us, the importance that we get the Word out, the reality that beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news, the importance of the spoken word, the importance of the written word, the importance of the spirit-empowered word, as Christ is the word, she brought to you today. However, as I was considering this and I was considering our participation in the things that God is doing, a thought came to me early in the week. And in fact, I think it was last week, maybe even, that I changed the church sign. I don't know if you noticed it or not. I had taken down the old sign, and I had a thought of what to put up there, and I started laying out the letters and discovered the message that I wanted to put on there. I didn't have enough N's to put the message on. That's limited, isn't it? You know, language, you're bound by letters and words and things of that nature, and so I couldn't put that on there, and so I was thinking about it, and I take it seriously what I put on this sign, because I want it to be something that catches people's attention, gets people to think as they drive by. And so some of you, I think probably for birthday gifts or whatever, have given me books over the years, and I've got one that's entitled Church Signs, and there's all kinds of little ideas in there, and I often look at that and take something from it. I often tweak it and change it a little bit or whatever. But if you read this sign, it simply says, love indeed is, four words, love indeed is, love indeed. That love indeed is in fact indeed love. You notice what Paul writes here in verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath that through him. That God didn't just have an idea that he loved us. John would proclaim that God is love, that it is his very character, this agape love, unconditional, unending, unerring love of God, this conscientious, active preferment. And so we look at this and we understand what John would write in the Gospel of John, right? And the Word, you know, that was with God, and the Word that was God, that Christ then became a man and came. And when you consider that, what you understand that is when you hear from Christ, you're hearing the mind, you're hearing the Word, you're hearing the thoughts of God toward you. But listen, God didn't just have thoughts about you. God didn't just have a love in his heart for you. God put that love to work. And the Word became flesh. And Christ came and he walked among us and he suffered the things that you suffered, and he was tempted as you were suffered, and he took himself and he went to the cross on your behalf. We sing this song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, and I was thinking about that too, and it was my sin that held him there, and I don't know if I can agree with that. I don't think it was my sin that held him there. It was his love for me that held him there. That nothing was going to dissuade Christ from expressing the love of God to us. That it wasn't simply something that he said, but it rather was something that he did indeed. In fact, John would say that in chapter 20, the last two verses. He said, of the things that Christ did, he did those things so that you might believe. That it is not simply that we speak the truth. It is not simply that we express in word love, but rather that we express it in deed. I did some calculating. I went online. I don't know if you're familiar with this interweb thing and Google and such, but we're living in what's called the information age. It's replaced the Industrial Revolution, if you will. Remember when people produced things? You remember when factories built stuff? And now it's information. That's the big thing. And we have all of this technology and everything. Listen to these statistics that I found online. Facebook approximately 850 million monthly users. Get your head around that. 850 million monthly users. 2.7 billion likes a day. Twitter is growing at a rate of, I think there's now 465 million participants in Twitter. That's twice the population of the United States. 175 million tweets a day. 1 million new accounts on Twitter a day. YouTube has approximately 829,000 videos being produced a day. 2 billion views on YouTube a day. Approximately 35 hours of video are uploaded every hour on YouTube. Emails, how many emails do you suppose we send? A day, 107 trillion. 12 billion searches on Google a month. And this is interesting. According to some statistics, one out of every six marriages in this day found each other online. Do you think people have something to say? We're engrossed in this idea of having something to say and listening to what other people have to say. I couldn't help but think when Jessica was explaining this morning how that the culture of the country was a culture of fear, and she shared it here now in church too, how that that had an effect on her, and she began to see herself differently according to that oppressive culture in which she lived. And as she was saying that, I thought to myself, of women in our culture, how are they being affected by the culture around them? It's completely the opposite, maybe, of what it is in Afghanistan, but it is no less more heinous. We're affected by the information, aren't we? And information is being shared at a more rapid rate of sharing now than it has been in any time past. So it isn't, and I'm not saying that information is not important, and I'm not saying that sharing with your mouth the gospel is not important. I think they're radically important, and obviously we live in a nation and in a culture that's interested in information. So let me tell you this just a little simple bit. Let's get to be about what God's about, sharing the gospel. Let's not leave it up to people who go to foreign countries only, but let's understand that we live in a mission field, and with our voices, we are to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. What she has been about and what she is about, and as she's preparing others to go out into that harvest field, we have the freedom in this nation to proclaim the name of Jesus here and on the street corner, and unfortunately, we're not doing it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But listen, that's not the only way that the gospel is to go forward. Because if we use Christ as our example, and if we look at chapter 5 and verse 8 of Romans, God commended, God put into action his love toward us. And we always begin with what God is doing, and we look at that and we say, well, then how would he have me to be a part, and am I to be active in this thing called the spreading of the gospel? If you go to 1 John, and here's where the thought on the sign had come from. 1 John, first of all, let's go to chapter 4. And where to begin and where to end in this passage of Scripture is hard to subdivide it, but let's just begin with 7 and read through 13. This is the Word of God now concerning those who have put their faith and are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested, notice it, the action. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And of course, John is drawing right out of his gospel, John 3:16. That we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And the love of God dwells in us by his Spirit, Paul says. Well, you see, that has to be the trademark. And of course, John 18 tells us that Jesus said, by this they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And love is an action word. And the greatest form of love that we know is in that which was commended to us when God put love to work by sending his Son to die for us when we were without strength, when we were sinners. If you look at 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. It's a fascinating opening to that verse. It doesn't say now that we perceive the love of God because of what we have heard. It says we perceive the love of God because of what he did. We perceive love according to the action of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And because of that, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, I wonder sometimes if we're quick to say, I love you, and yet slow to demonstrate that we love one another. And actions, when it comes to love, speak louder than words. We have an opportunity to uplift the brethren in actions of love. We have an opportunity to show the world that we're disciples of Christ and use that as a means of spreading the gospel when we put into action a love one for another. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What a great question. And we know the answer. My little children, Jesus, there, God's word says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in the truth. Let us do it. Let's do love. Let's love one another. Let's prefer one another. Let's live sacrificially on behalf of one another. For this is how the love of God is seen, and this is how the love of God is known. Love, indeed, is love indeed. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is your action towards us that tells us of your great love for us. It's your action towards us, and yet when we were without strength, sinners, enemies of the cross, that Christ died on our behalf. It is in that action of sacrificially giving himself on our behalf that we understand, at least in part, that you are love. And your love is unconditional and made available to anyone who would call upon your name. And then, Lord, you have placed your love within us. It is not that we have loved you, but that you first loved us. And through your Spirit, Lord, you enable us, you engage us, and you give us the capacity, Lord, to think outside of ourselves and to love, especially as we consider the brethren, to love in action our brethren. Lord, that this is the hallmark of the church. This is where love is to be experienced, not just simply stated, but it is to be experienced in sacrificially edifying and lifting up one another above ourselves. And so, Lord, today as we've considered and heard, Lord, of your word going forth, and as we consider the challenges of Bible translation and, Lord, getting it into their own love languages, the languages of these people that you have scattered and that you have confused the tongue, Lord, we recognize the challenge and we thank you for those who are willing to be your mouthpiece. We thank you, Lord, for those who are willing to study linguistics and learn how to communicate with the lost. We praise you and we recognize, Lord, that you are at work around this world. And then, Lord, we consider where we live. We have no barrier of language. We have freedom of opportunity. And yet, Lord, we seem to not vocalize enough your name. Embolden us, Lord, to do that, but not only to speak love, but, Lord, to demonstrate love. As James would say, faith without works is dead. For if someone asks you and you say, be ye warmed and filled, and nevertheless you don't take care of their need, what is that? And so, Lord, we are called to action. And I would today, Lord, that you would give us a boldness to be about our Father's business in word and in deed. Move us, Lord, to consider outside of ourselves your name, your glory, and the edification and the furtherance of your kingdom. May that be upon our hearts. These things we pray today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.